We do want to get to some of those COVID headlines we've gotten in that appear to be rattling some investors as well. Here in New York State, we've got a surge in new COVID infections, up 40% in one day, with the state seeing the highest single day total since January of this year. That prompted the senior public health advisor to Mayor Bill de Blasio here in New York City to tweet out, "We have never seen anything like this before." Meanwhile, over at the White House, President Biden offered this grim warning to unvaccinated Americans. Take a listen.
"We are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated, for themselves, their families, and the hospitals they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated, you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death."
Let's bring in Dr. Howard Foreman, Yale radiology and public health professor. And doctor, I have to tell you, it's starting to feel a little bit like 2020 again. When you look at the headlines, you're seeing big events being canceled, offices delaying the return to the office. What's going on?
Look, it's not 2020. We have a lot of advantages over 2020, but you know, we have a widely open society right now, notwithstanding some of the cancellations of the last few days. And we have COVID fatigue, so we have people not necessarily taking the precautions they did in the past. And we have an enormously infectious variant that is probably already on the cusp of dominance in the tri-state area. My colleague at Yale estimates that by this weekend, roughly, we will have more than 50% of cases in Connecticut being Omicron. So there's a lot of concern in case numbers, but when you look at hospitalizations, when you look at deaths, or even when you project those from where we are right now, it is nowhere near as bad as 2020 was, particularly in the tri-state area.
Yeah, Dr. Foreman, Zach here. Good to chat again. I mean, when we're looking at maybe some of the reaction to all this, too, it is kind of, I guess, bringing back memories earlier in the pandemic when maybe some of the defenses weren't in place. I'm thinking of other schools in the Ivy League like Cornell sending students home to kind of prepare for this. And I think the take around there from what we're hearing from officials there is that, look, we have to do our part, maybe not for the vaccinated students on campus, but families they might be going to that might not be vaccinated. So when you consider that, I mean, how serious are maybe some of the ideas of returning to maybe the more restricted aspects of life that we saw earlier in the pandemic?
I don't think there is a political appetite to do the types of lockdowns and shutdowns we had earlier on. But I do think it's incumbent upon all of us to restrict discretionary activities so that we can keep schools open, so that we can keep our health system from buckling under the strain of excessive hospitalizations, even at the same time that we're already at high hospitalization levels for non-COVID. So look, we each individually and collectively have responsibilities to try to keep this from getting completely out of control. But at the same time, we have so many protective layers now that we didn't have a year and a half ago. We have testing available. We have one drug under authorization and another drug getting close to authorization that will be very protective. We have a slew of vaccines, the two main ones seemingly very protective against severe disease and hospitalization. And even with the early evidence on Omicron, that infection-acquired and vaccine-acquired immunity are likely contributing to holding down hospitalizations and deaths at this point.
And doctor, we're just about a week out from Christmas. No question, a lot of people have big family gatherings that are planned, and they're asking themselves, should I go ahead with these plans, number one? But also number two, if I know those who are gathering, some members are not vaccinated, what do you think they should do?
You know, honestly, under those circumstances, it comes down to your specific family unit. If you have an elderly person in your family unit who is vaccinated, presumably, you should not be exposing them to potential incremental risk from people that are unvaccinated. But it is true that even among the vaccinated, it's possible that there'll be a breakthrough case and can spread to an elderly person. So the elderly individuals in your family unit should absolutely be boosted. unlike the first and second shot, it's not like you have to wait 2 weeks in order to get full immunity. We believe 4 days after the booster shot, you are well protected. So get out there and get the booster shot now, particularly if you're in that older age category that is at higher risk.
And doctor, I mean, when we talk about maybe, I guess, you know, some of the early, if you think back to the early days when we had a lot of experts on this show kind of talking about what it would look like down the road living with COVID, right? The hopes that it would turn into an endemic that you know, we wouldn't necessarily see hospitalizations and deaths, but maybe you would get it, but because of the vaccines, we'd be fine and, you know, you'd go on living your life. I mean, now that we're at this stage and you're watching what's playing out in South Africa where this first came about and you're seeing maybe hospitalizations and ventilator use not really surge as people had feared, I mean, what's the takeaway now? Because it does seem like there's a lot of panic. In the last show, we just heard our anchors talking about canceled events. Certainly a lot of that going on now in New York as we see cases rise. I mean, what is the takeaway when you think about the long run, how this was supposed to go with all of us being vaccinated?
Yeah, look, we're getting closer to a point where something like a milder coronavirus might allow us to live a sort of normal life without so much death and hospitalizations around us. We're not quite there. And I can't speak to what Omicron is going to look like in the United States right now, but I can tell you that in my hospital right now, we've tripled the number of COVID hospitalizations over the last roughly 4 weeks. And that number continues to climb every day. It's the first thing I look at every morning. And that's primarily Delta. Until we get to a point where we're not stretching our health system, we do have to take some measures. I do think there will be a point in the future that between therapeutics, vaccinations, and maybe the most modest measures, we can have a totally normal life and not have to even contemplate shutting things down or canceling events on short notice.
And we did get that recommendation or a change in recommendation from the CDC on vaccinations, making it pretty clear that they prefer the Moderna and Pfizer mRNA vaccines to the Johnson & Johnson one. There's plenty of people out there who got the J&J vaccine. They've gotten the booster since. Does that provide enough immunity against the Omicron variant?
Yeah, it seems like it does. The evidence certainly supports that. The concern about J&J with the booster is not about effectiveness. It's about side effects in a subpopulation. And so that's where we have to, be a little bit cautious about, that vaccine. It's not about effectiveness. My own anecdotal experience, I'll just tell the viewers, because I'm in the ER about three times a week at this point as a radiologist, so I'm seeing the worst cases of COVID. Those cases are almost exclusively occurring in people that are unvaccinated. And when I see cases in vaccinated individuals, it almost invariably says the patient is, quote, overdue for a booster. I've not seen a single boosted patient have a breakthrough case over the last several weeks. I've not seen one ever, but I've not in the last several weeks when I've seen a lot of COVID cases and a lot of severe COVID cases, I have not seen a breakthrough of a booster case. So, back to your original point about J&J, I think it is still an effective vaccine, particularly after that booster. It is not a preferred vaccine in general because of the side effects.
Yeah, general takeaway here, if you haven't yet, I guess, would be to get the booster. Certainly, if you haven't been vaccinated yet, would be to get vaccinated. When we talk about one last one, though, to put it real in practice, Dr. Foreman, because we've been talking about generalities, but right now there are realities playing out in the NFL dealing with their own outbreak situations. We asked the doctor yesterday about whether or not the right steps forward would be to put in, as you said, some measures, respectable measures here. And there are a lot of people saying, look, maybe it is the time to dial back. I don't know if fans wouldn't be allowed at games anymore, but clearly, certainly they're dealing with their own COVID issues. What do you think is the right way forward for them in, I guess, mitigating some of the spread now too?
Well, that's a tough question, and that's not one that I'm going to try to really answer. I mean, again, I think spread does not occur outdoors. But getting people to outdoors, even in a stadium, means going through some tight spaces, close spaces with people that are closer to being indoors. I think for the players themselves, the risk really is to coaches, older people around them. A lot of them have staff, and then their families. but I think we could mitigate. I will say is one of the most heartening things that I've seen in the last couple of weeks is Yale had a fairly substantial outbreak that I think was very much heading in the same direction as Cornell just 2 weeks ago. And just with added testing and some cautions, not even precautionary measures, but some cautions to the students, they took it down to back to effectively normal again. We have very few cases among students on Yale's campus once again after a reasonable outbreak 2 weeks ago.
Doctor, we tried. We asked another doctor as well about what, in fact, the NFL should do. And certainly, you know, what we're hearing over and over is that it really is a case-by-case basis. Dr. Howard Forman, it's always good to get your insight here. Yale radiology and public health professor.